Hi, everyone. All right, we are going to be talking about relationships today. This is a topic I think we are all struggling with. It's not one person, it's not just you, not just your partner, it's not your ex, it's not just your children, it's literally all of us. And we're all really trying to figure out like how to do this, you know, how do you do relationships? We used to have these institutions that really told us what, you know, how to move forward and what to do and how to manage. We had marriage and we had traditional societal expectations and gender role division. We had things, even religion and what is expected of a man versus a woman, all these different religions, traditions, expectations, institutions, they don't have that kind of stronghold anymore. Not to say that they're not around, but of course there are many people living according to those traditional expectations and values. But I think as we move forward into the future, a lot of things are shifting. A lot of people are sharing a lot of the things that were clearly divided before, and so you actually don't know how to do relationships. Plus, we have all sorts of social media expectations and all sorts of these things, you know, like we hear. And I'm here to tell you guys some of the things that I was like, oh, that's not true. Oh, shucks. Like, I really was hoping that one was true. I'm going to share those things with you. Things like, you know, people that love you should accept you as you are. And, maybe, accept you as you are in all of your ways and do what makes you happy. We have things like relationships are 50-50. And if this isn't 50-50, then I don't want it. And someone that loves you will always be there for you. When you know, you know. Like, how do you know you've met the person? Like, you'll know. It's like, maybe you won't. Like, you know, there are things we hear and then we have these ideas of what a relationship is. And it really is so different than that when you actually are in that relationship. There's one quote that I remember, and you know, reading even as a young child, not as a young child, but like as a teenager, it feels like a very long time ago. You know, nobody is worth your tears, and those who are worth it won't make you cry. Let me tell you, that ain't how it works. So I'm going to hit the record button for this podcast and we are going to get started and we are going to be talking about all of these amazing things today. Oh, hold on one second, guys. Give me one second. Here we are. All right. We are going to talk about relationships. You know, and I've been talking about shadow work. I've been talking about individuation. I've been talking about healing. I've been talking about moving towards wholeness. One of the most important ways in which you will do that is through your relationships. It is in relationships a lot of our splitting off from our from parts of ourselves happen. It is in relationships that we get wounded, early relationships. It is in relationships that we can have the most healing. And we can, you know, a lot of our stuff can actually show up. Our insecurities show up, our difficulties show up, our relational patterns show up. It is in these relationships. Okay, not to say we want to use the other person to do our work, but it just so happens that when you are in a relationship, these things just show up without you asking for it. And you can go from relationship to relationship and think that, you know, well, it's all the other person. It's always the other person that is narcissistic, and it's always the other person that is the issue. You know, I mean, there's never a time that I have posted or I have talked about relationships and narcissism doesn't show up. And unless that person has clinically gotten a diagnosis of narcissism, you know, it's just too easy for us to just say, well, just because they are selfish or just because they only think of themselves, they're narcissistic. It doesn't work like that, guys. And so I would just tell you to refrain from using such labels and instead look at patterns and look at what you might be contributing to that dynamic. Look at what you can learn from that experience, because it's just too easy to say, well, you know, he or she was narcissistic and I'm now moving on and I now need to go heal. And and like I said, it could be true, but it doesn't really help the situation when you were part of that dynamic in some way and you need to figure out what that was. And that dynamic could be that you actually tolerated that abuse, or you tolerated being put down. You weren't able to communicate your boundaries clearly. You questioned yourself a lot. Now, that can happen in a narcissistic relationship, and I'm not going to talk about narcissism today, but I just want to clarify that if we just say, well, he was narcissistic, now I need to go heal, it's going to show up in another relationship in another way without someone being narcissistic. Because in every relationship, even a mother-child or father-child relationship, you are going to need to know what your boundaries are. You are going to need to know who you are. You are going to need to know how to communicate what you need and what you expect and how people are able to treat you and what you are able to tolerate and what you won't tolerate. That is going to happen in every relationship. So it's not just in these like abusive relationships that we need to know what our boundaries are. In every relationship, we need to know who I am, what I want, how do I expect things to be, what can they expect from me. That's all up for negotiation all the time. And it is a conversation that we must have with the people we are in a relationship with, not just, you know, the ones that we need to draw our boundaries with, because the way boundaries is usually talked about, it's usually like with a boss who's like crossing the line, or with a friend who's not really respecting you or being considerate of you, or with an ex. And that's usually the context in which we talk about that, but that's not what it is. It is, where do I begin? Where do you begin? Where do I end? Where do you end? Where do I get my needs met? What needs are yours that need to be met? That's what relationships are about. Okay, so you guys are going to put your questions in the Q&A box. I'm not sure what that is. Okay, let's see. So we are talking about relationships today. And I want to start off with a disclaimer of sorts that, you know, just because I'm a psychologist, just because I've been doing this for, you know, almost 2 decades, just because I'm married, or just because I have children, or just because I have friends, doesn't mean I've got this figured out. This is a constant wondering about and constant trying to figure out, who am I in this relationship as I am today? Because who I was when I got married is not who I am today. Who I was as a mother of a young child is not who I am as a mother of a teenager. So these kinds of things are constantly something that I am bringing to my therapeutic journey with my analyst and my therapist, and something I'm constantly thinking about. So I don't have it figured out. I'm here to tell you that I'm working on this, but there are a few things I did figure out. I have figured out a few things, and those few things, and I laugh because, you know, just a few weeks ago, I was like, come on, man, you gotta give me something. I was talking to my analyst, like, there must be an algorithm. There must be that if he does this, then I should do that. or if my friend asks of this of me, and then I should do this. And that way I can copy paste that to all of my relationships and to all of my friendships and to all of my children. And it isn't. With each relationship, I show up differently. Different parts of me show up different. And each relationship on a Monday could look different than on a Friday, and on a different stage in their life, in a different phase in their life. And so this is what is constantly up for negotiation and discussion and communication. What my husband may need of me during the first quarter of the year is different from what he may need from me in the last quarter, just because work has different expectations. What I might need of him is going to be different. You see, so you don't have an algorithm. You don't have a perfect tile or a 1-hour Instagram live that's going to tell you what you need to do. This is where it's so important that you be attuned to the people in your life, and that you be attuned to your own self and what you need and how you are changing, so you can communicate that with the other people in with the other people in your life. So some people, okay, one person said that I'm not loud. I'm actually quite loud. you may need to turn up your volume on your device. All right, so let's see. A few things that I have learned that are true. So one of the things that I just mentioned is that you're gonna constantly be negotiating in relationships. And some of these myths, which are basically sayings that we grew up with, and we think that that is the reality, and when that doesn't happen, we are so disappointed, and then we're like, oh, you're not what I thought you were. I've actually never said that to a person, but, you know, I've heard that, like, you're not what I thought you were. And it's like, well, what were you thinking I was? Because I've been pretty clear about who I was. But also, who I was changes. Am I not allowed to change in this relationship? And so once you figure out these layers to me, does that mean you leave? You know, so it really is something to think about when we say something, well, he wasn't what I thought he was. Let's deconstruct that a little bit, okay? When we meet another person without exception, we will project onto the other person an idea of who we think they are, okay? So this is without exception here, that we will have projections in every relationship. A projection is a part of ourselves, something that we cannot either tolerate inside of ourselves, or something that we have not actualized inside of ourselves, something that has not expressed itself within ourselves that we project onto the other person. So you have this very quiet person who's really, you know, who's got a very loud partner that they chose for themselves. It's because they're extroverted, boisterous, charismatic part of themselves inside of themselves has not been integrated, so we project onto the other person what has not been integrated in us, or something that we have split off from, and that could be our light and it could be our shadow. So this is what happens in relationships. So when you meet someone and you're like, oh, you know, he's so nice, and you know, a lot of times that's going to not be the reality of the situation. That's why, you know, the first year of a relationship or first year of you moving in together is going to be like, oh, I didn't know this and I didn't know this. Yeah, you didn't know a lot of things about a person. When you travel with that person, when you lend money to that person, when that person first disappoints you, when that first person first lets you down, these are all parts of a normal experience of a relationship. And we think, well, that's not who I thought they were. Well, then maybe who you thought they were was not actually a full idea of who they were. and that you don't have space inside of yourself to hold the whole version of who they are. Because who they are is going to be all kinds of things that are human. Fallible, disappointing, disagreeable, disheartening even. And there will be small betrayals in a relationship and big betrayals in a long term. It can happen that who they are is all of those things. And what you might have been expecting is a perfect version of that person. You had never seen them angry before, and now you see them angry and you're like, ooh, what is that? But when we see the reality of a person, we say, oh, well, you know, I'm not in love with you anymore. So were you ever really in love with that person? Or were you in love with the image of that person? Or were you in love with the idea of that person? Or were you in love with one dimension of that person, but really not that whole person? To love another person can be very difficult. To love another person is that I accept you in all your ways, always. That doesn't mean that I have to put up with everything or tolerate everything. Like, if you yell at me, I don't have to take that. I don't have to, actually, you know what, this conversation is not headed in the right direction and you're getting really loud and it's really feeling like I'm getting very dysregulated, and so it's best we don't talk about this until we both have cooled off. That can happen in a long-term relationship, that what I just said. So just because, you know, you accept them that they get angry doesn't mean that you have to accept that they lash out on you. This is where the boundary comes in. This is where, you know what, this isn't very healthy right now, and I don't want to engage any further until we both have cooled off, until you've cooled off and I've cooled off and I've regulated myself, and then we can come back and have a mature adult conversation about this. I think it's okay to say that. So this idea that a relationship, you know, you weren't who I thought you were, I would really ask you, who did you think they were? And where did you get that idea? And where do you get the idea of what a perfect relationship is? Most often, people are not getting it from their parents. They're not getting it from people in their life. It's not a model. They see, you know, social media couple goals. Let me tell you, all those couples are, they have arguments too, and they have difficulties too, and they have disagreements too, and they might go to bed angry with each other, and all of that. Of course, you're not going to see those things on a platform somewhere. So most of us have these ideas of what a perfect relationship is from social media, from Hollywood, from movies that we have engaged with, from people that we see in public, and we're like, wow, they're just power couple and they're so perfect. Yeah, no, that's not it. And in those relationships, there is all sorts of human things that are going on, all sorts of disagreements, all sorts of tears as well. So there brings me to the other quote. I don't know who said it, everyone from like Eisenhower to Paulo Coelho and all of these other guys have been quoted with this. I actually don't know who said it, but I've heard it, and I heard it from a very long time ago, that nobody is worth your tears, and those who are worth it won't make you cry. Yeah, well, about that. Not true, guys. It's so not true. In relationships where you are open-hearted and you are vulnerable and you are showing up and you are loving the other person and you are accepting the other person, you are gonna cry, and they are worth it, and it's gonna hurt. They are gonna hurt you. Now, I'm not going to say they might even devastate you. in real relationships, in long-term relationships, there could even be devastation. Doesn't mean that relationship ends. You know, it's like, what all goodness is there? Have you shown up for each other there? And I'll talk about what a healthy relationship is. Because somebody asked me, what is a healthy relationship? And I think that's a good question. In those relationships, in real relationships, there will be tears. And there will be heartache. And there will be disappointments. And there will be moments where there is disengagement even. Where maybe you're withdrawn into yourself, or maybe they're withdrawn into themselves. Maybe they go through their dark night. Maybe you're going through your dark night. Maybe you are questioning your existence. Maybe they're questioning their existence. If you travel the path with another human being for, you know, for an extended amount of time, you are evolving, you are growing, you are transforming, you are questioning, you are wondering, you are disengaging, and you are choosing each other again and again. You're choosing each other again and again, and that's why it's called a commitment. And so, I know my kids have made me cry. Are they not worth my tears? I know that they've done things and said things, and this is teenagers, right? Like, where you're like, oh my God, that was really hurtful. Like, you know, and that hurts. Or, you know, they chose their dream and they left. I cried. That hurt me. Then now they're choosing to go versus choosing to stay with me. Like, how do you define what is worth your tears? So where there is love, there will be pain. Where there is love, there will be grief. Where there is love, there will be disappointment. And there's just, I don't think there's a way around that. Because you are dealing with another human being, and that human being has the right to make mistakes, just like you have the right to make mistakes. And they have a right to choose, as well as you have the right to choose. So this is where I think these expectations we have of people in our life, we would not have the same, we would not want that for ourselves, right? You are not perfect. And so they are not perfect. They can change their mind, just like you can change your mind. So this is the second or third or fourth thing that I just said. Another thing is relationships are 50-50. You know, there's give and take. Yeah, there is, for sure. That is a healthy relationship where there is reciprocity. But 50-50? Nope, not always. Sometimes it's 80-20. Sometimes it's 90-10. Sometimes it's just 100% the other person or you. Maybe there's an illness. Maybe you're going through something difficult. Maybe they're going through something difficult. Maybe you just need to give at that point. But in a healthy relationship, there is reciprocity, where they will also be reciprocating at some point, or they have already. So hoping that someone will just show up for you in the same exact way you showed up for them last week, they may not have the capacity to do that right now. Maybe they're going through something right now. And so expecting that from another person is not reasonable. I think it's really important that relationships have open dialogue about, you know, what are you capable of right now? What am I capable of giving right now? What am I capable of doing? And sometimes I have seen this in relationships, that two people, the best way they can love each other is to just take care of themselves. That I'm not gonna ask anything of you, but I'm not gonna be able to give you anything right now either. So let's both take care of ourselves, and let's just keep talking to each other and saying, we are here, we are communicating how we are in this journey with ourselves, but you can't do anything for me right now, and I can't do anything for you right. It could look like that. So there's no give and there's no take. It's just a holding pattern. And that can happen in long-term relationships, where just tend to yourself, make sure you're good, and I'm gonna make sure I'm good, and we're gonna keep talking. And I'm not saying this is like, like I said, it's a holding pattern. Like, you don't, you know, think about an airplane. You don't just stay in a holding pattern. You're gonna run out of gasoline. Like, you just have to land at some point. But there are periods in your life where that could be what a relationship look like. Okay, how long is a period? That's gonna be the next question. A period could be a month, it could be 3, it could be 6, it could be a year. But a commitment is really showing up for each other and saying, I am here. And then making sure you're tending to each other in some way during that time that says, I face you, I'm with you. I want you to know where I'm at. I want to know where you're at, and that's the holding pattern. So, and that's going to have to be negotiated within your relationship. Someone who loves you will always be there for you. It's a little bit like what I just already said, but no one will always be there for you. You have to be there for you always, but it's just not possible that someone will always be there for you. Or if they loved me, they would know what I need. 100% no. You have responsibility to communicate what you need. Because everyone is busy. Everyone is hurting. You can just assume that right now. Everyone has so many things on their mind and in their heart. Everyone is on a journey. And so to expect that they would just know where you're at and how you're doing, it's not possible. And also to know that they will always be there for you. No, maybe they're going through a really difficult stage in their life. Maybe they just moved. Maybe they just got married. Maybe they just had a baby. Maybe they're struggling with motherhood. Maybe they're struggling with their job. Maybe they got promoted. Things consume people. And they may not be able to be there for you at that time. But a relationship should have enough in its account that you don't bankrupt when you are not able to tend to that relationship for a week or a month, or depending on how long that transition may be. But I do think it is so important to communicate. I think it's important to communicate when you are going through something with the people in your life. I think it's important that people know that you're struggling with something right now. Because I can show up like this, but you don't know what I went through last week. And you don't know what I'm going through right now. So you're like, oh, but she looked so happy and she was smiling and, you know, she didn't check in on me. You have no idea what happens when I turn this phone off and what I'm contending with and how many things I have to tend to. Nobody knows. Oh, well, I saw her and she was at a party and, you know, she looked so, no. Just that one image and that one snippet or that one hour does not tell you what is going on in a person's life. So, you know, this is where trust comes in a relationship, which is that you give benefit of doubt to the other person. And that is one of the most important things in a relationship, is trust, and that you're building that trust. Now, if it's a new relationship and that trust is not there, okay, that relationship cannot withstand the storm. But if you've been depositing into that relationship for years, if you've been depositing into that relationship, you know, and there are relationships that you've deposited for a very long time, then that relationship should be able to withstand difficult times. Now, what are deposits in a relationship? Think about it as a bank account. And I believe it's Gottman that talks about it as this. Think about your relationships with your people in your life as bank accounts, emotional accounts. Whether it's my daughter, whether it's my father, whether it's my husband, whether it's my friend, I'm depositing into that account. you know, and that could be anything. It could be small gestures, it could be big gestures. It could be that, oh, I really know that she likes this type of pen, and I saw it and I bought it for her. All the way to, I dropped everything, I canceled my work day and I showed up and, you know, was there for her in a difficult time. Or I canceled my week and made sure I was sitting with her as she was going through an illness. Or it was checking in on her when she was going through a very difficult time. It could be anything that means something to you, small and big. So don't just think it's the big things, it's the small things too. And most often it's the small things we overlook, like, oh, it's not gonna really matter to her if I call her, or it's not gonna really matter to her if I show up for her birthday, or I show up for her wedding, or I show up for her, whichever, fill in the blank. And those things matter to people. How you show up for someone when they're down, how you show up for someone, you know, when they had no one really there. There's a lot of times I hear that someone's going through a breakup or a divorce or a difficult time, they got fired, and everyone in their life sort of just disappeared. They lost all their money. And it is on those moments that you really see who was there for you. So in the big, in the high times and the low times, and oftentimes there's a lot of times when people can be there with you in the difficult times, but no one wants to be there when you're celebrating something, because we all, you know, and these envy issues show up. So you don't support them, or you're not encouraging of them, because you're like, well, they're probably hearing it from everyone else. They don't need it from me. So in those high times, those deposits also are very, very important. Can you be there for me? Can you celebrate me? Can you encourage me? Can you support me? Can you show up for me? That's going to be important. And these are the deposits you make in a relationship. Now, not all relationships are equal. You have your close circle. This is usually, you know, no more than 7, 9 people max. Then you have a wider circle and a wider circle and a wider circle. And what you expect of those relationships is also going to be different. So what you expect from your inner circle is not going to be what you expect from like the third circle out. And the way you relate to them and how you, certain boundaries you have with them may be different. And so it's going to be important that when you think about healthy relationships, you don't just put everybody in the same bucket or in the same circle. Healthy relationships can be defined differently. A healthy work relationship, a healthy parent-child relationship, a healthy intimate relationship, a healthy friendship, a healthy second circle friendship, a healthy third circle friendship, because those are different. So a healthy relationship has, you know, respect. You know, you should just accept me as I am. Yeah, but there's also parts of you that are really like angry and, you know, unhinged. So will you bring your best self to work, to this relationship? So this is where like this idea of like the authentic self and, you know, do what makes you happy. And if it doesn't make you happy, then it isn't worth it. And it's like, well, not every relationship is gonna make you happy all the time. Do you make people happy all the time? Are you showing up for people all the time? Are you not hurting anyone at any point in your life? I mean, if that's the case, then maybe you can have those expectations. But not, it's just not, it doesn't work in that way where every part of you should be tolerated within a relationship. No, you show up within your relationship from your highest self. And yeah, there are times where I lose my lid and I, you know, where things happen and I say things and I'm like, oh, I did not mean to say that, or I cannot believe I just said that to you and I'm so sorry. Like, and then there's the apology, and there's the repair. There is the rupture, and there's the repair. Now, if there's too many ruptures and repairs, then you've got some work to do on regulating yourself. It cannot be that every day you're saying sorry. What are you doing to repair that within yourself so you show up with the best of yourself? If I'm showing up to a relationship unhinged, if I'm showing up to my relationship dysregulated, if I'm showing up to my relationship completely taking and taking and taking and talking and talking and talking, like if I'm showing up in that way in a relationship, then I am not regulating myself. I am not tending to myself. I am not giving to myself. I am not healing myself. I am not taking responsibility for myself. I am not owning my behavior. Oh, well, he made me angry. Yeah, people can be triggering, but in the end, you have full responsibility. You have to take full responsibility for your behavior. Full ownership of that. Yes, I get triggered, but no, I don't unleash on everything around me when I get triggered. You see that? That's called ownership. And that's what you have to do in a relationship. You have to take full responsibility for your behavior. Well, what do I do if he does this? You have to take full responsibility for your behavior. You cannot expect the other person to change. Now, I've also had people ask me, do I stay in an abusive relationship? I cannot answer that question for you. What I would want for the world is for everybody to be in a healthy relationship. I would want everybody to be in a relationship that is supportive. I would want everybody to be in a relationship where there is trust and respect. But there are people in relationships where they, you know, where their culture, their society, their religion, their family has certain expectations of them. And you can only do what you can do within that relationship. And I'm not going to be the one to say, yeah, okay, go ahead and leave that relationship, because you wouldn't have to ask me if it was that easy. If it was that easy, then you wouldn't have to ask me. But I am saying that you do not have to tolerate or accept abusive behavior. And wherever there is a possibility for you to establish a boundary, draw a boundary, to stand up for yourself, to leave something that is hurting you, then I would say take that. But consider your own life. Consider your own, just what is your life? I know that there are people that I have spoken to, it is not an option for them to leave their partner, whether it's a male or a female. Mostly it's females that are sort of bound in that. They feel bound to that. But I'm not going to be the one to make that decision, and no one should be. That decision, in order for you to see it through, must come from the inside of you. It must come from you. Because if you're asking that question, then there is something holding you to that relationship. And all of that must be considered. And I would say that it would be very, very important for people to get counsel from someone objective. You know, like, this is a really big decision. If you have been in a committed, long-ish, long-term relationship, and you are choosing to leave that relationship for whatever reason, think about all the things that are, you know, contributing to you making that decision. Think about all the things that that you can expect as you leave that decision, as you leave that relationship. Think about all the obstacles that you may encounter. Like, it is a big decision. And it should not be something you get on a message on Instagram, or you should get on, because your particular specific life situation is very different from even your friend who might have gone through a divorce or who might have left a long-term relationship. You have to consider yourself, your family, your life, your children, if you have any, your finances, if that's a concern, all of them. So don't, while counsel, and I said counsel and not advice, because people usually give you advice from their own experience, right? And they're not really asking you. That's why I say when you go to a good counselor, they will ask you, okay, what's the situation? How are the kids? How is the relationship? How is your family? What is your religion and tradition and family societal expectations, etc., etc.? Like, they will gather all the information, and then there will be counsel that will be that they will give you. So it really is important to not just go around filling your head with all people's advices who are just using their own life experience to give you that advice. And that life experience may not have anything to do with your own life. So it's very, very important that you consider that. And know that your life scenario is so different from everybody else's life scenario, and that's okay. In healthy relationships, so I mentioned some of those things, there is trust. Now, if you constantly feel like you're having to prove yourself in a relationship, or you have to prove your love to the other person, then there is no trust. And you know, it's fascinating to me that even, the relationships are really just fascinating. Like, think about one human being with their own childhood and traumas and wounds and, you know, communication skills and emotional intelligence and unintegrated parts of themselves and. And you take another human being and you have all of that. And then you come together and you're supposed to do this thing called life. Like, that's not easy, man. That's really hard. And that's why it constantly, like, requires you to be talking to each other, like, oh, well, this came up for me. And I've seen conscious relationships, conscious couples, where they speak about these things. And not to say that they have no fights and they have no arguments, for sure they do. But they're constantly saying, when you did this, you know, I felt really triggered, and I'm gonna go figure out what that was about, and then I'm gonna come and talk to you about it. And that other person has a little bit of space inside of themselves, and they say, okay, you know what? I'm sorry about what I said, and I did say it in a way that was quite triggering. I think my tone was a bit off, but you know, you do you, and I'm gonna go sort out what came up for me also, and then we come back and we talk about this. And that actually can happen in real relationships. But it is a researched fact that in many relationships, the emotional intelligence of one partner is going to be lower than that of the other person. And typically, the emotional intelligence of men tends to be lower than the emotional intelligence of women. Not to say that, I mean, I have worked with many, many men who are absolutely phenomenal with their emotional intelligence. And I've seen many, many women that are struggling in that space. So an emotional intelligence, it's cultivated, not something you're born with. So it is something that you can cultivate, you can become more aware of, you can learn more about yourself, you can integrate more, you can label more of your emotions, you can learn to express and communicate. It is something you can work on. And so when you have this kind of dynamic where one person has more emotional intelligence than the other person, and you're trying to communicate with each other, it gets really difficult, guys. So yeah, relationships are hard. And no, there is no easy formula. But the formula is trust, support, cooperation, accountability. For me, that's a big one. Are you accountable? Oh my God, so much can be solved in just that. Do you take accountability? Do you take ownership of when you did something wrong? You know, this is one of the things I'd love to just make sure my kids have. Like, own it. When you do something wrong, do not say, well, he made me. No one makes you do anything. own your behavior. Accountability. I think I've said that like 9 times, so I'm going to stop saying that. For me, it's such a big one. Because only when you can own do you actually have the power to change. And if you don't own, you are constantly going to feel like a victim. Look what he did to me. Look what she did to me. Look what she didn't say to me. Look what she said to me. You're not owning the fact that you're not drawing any boundaries. You're not owning the fact that you're avoiding conflict. Oh, well, I don't want to hurt her feelings, but you know, she just is so inconsiderate of me. Really? Isn't that convenient? How about you have a difficult conversation with her and tell her that when you do this, it really brings up such and such stuff for me. Or when you know, I was really expecting you to be there for me and I'm really disappointed that you weren't. And then have space for the other person to say, well, you know, whatever their reason was. But you see, a lot of times what we're doing is we're avoiding conflict and we're thinking we're being nice. It works out really well. But people are like, oh, but I'm so considerate and I'm so nice to the other person and they're constantly taking advantage of me. But it is serving you because you are avoiding that conflict. And if you actually had a difficult conversation with another person and you had to learn the skill to have that difficult conversation with the other person, then maybe they would be considering you. But that requires you to do some work. And most people don't want to do that work. I just want everyone to figure it out. I mean, there was a time in my life, actually. There was a time in my life where I said, you know what? Why do I have to ask people to do this for me? I did it for them. Why don't they do it for me? Don't work. But then I said, well, why am I not asking them? And it's like, it feels really uncomfortable to ask people for help, doesn't it, Sal? It sure does. For me to make myself vulnerable and to ask someone for help, I just want them to figure it out and just do it without me having to engage in that. That vulnerability did not feel comfortable. Oh, Sal, that's convenient, isn't it? So then you get resentful of the other person. Then you're like, well, why won't they do this for me? Why won't they consider me? All of that resentment starts to build, but you're not actually looking at yourself and saying, what do I need to do differently here? Where am I being unclear? Where am I not communicating my expectations? And why am I not communicating that? Most often, it will be one, because I don't know how to. I don't know how to have an assertive conversation. Number two, I'm really uncomfortable with conflict. When other people start to get, so this will happen a lot, especially for really sensitive, empathetic people, but it happens for other people too. Number three, it will be because you are afraid of your own anger and you don't know how to regulate yourself. And a lot of times I see this, that there's so much resentment has built up, so much anger has built up that you'd rather just avoid that conversation. And I'm sure that, number four, you don't want to expose yourself and that vulnerability. I'm sure there's more, but these are just like off the top of my head. In healthy relationships, there's also safety. Safety that you're not going to manipulate me, you're not going to be abusive, you're not going to use me, you're not going to, be hostile towards me, you're not going to use intimidation tactics towards me. There's safety in a relationship. And when there's safety in a relationship, even when they do something wrong, you're like, I don't know, like, that doesn't seem like them. Like, it's easier to give them the benefit of doubt. But when there's hostility in a relationship, when there is not a lot of transparency or clarity about each other, I'll come to the transparency bit in a minute, but then, you know, it's not as safe, and then people don't trust as much, and then people are not as open in communication, and then you see how that happens. So safety, I think, is very, very important in healthy relationships. There's one other thing, that when you, going back to when I said that, you know, this person will always be there for me, you know, we're living longer than we've ever had lived before. Like, we're living a long time and we're living healthier, thank God. And, you know, I pray that we're all healthy and we have long-term relationships. But relationships have cycles, and healthy relationships have cycles, and friendships have cycles, and even your workplace or the place where you live and your children, they will go through their own cycles. And what I have found, and I don't have evidence to show this, but from my experience, that a cycle is like around 12 years. I know I've said 7 before, but at 7 years, some things start to churn up, and sometimes shifts, big shifts happen at the 7-year mark. But usually there's something that starts to brew at the 7-year mark, and usually it completes in the 12-year mark. This is just my experience. I was thinking that I have 7-year cycles and then maybe 5-year cycles, but it actually is that I've seen a completion happen at the 12-year mark. And that's not to say that you will not have a 24-year or a 20-year relationship. But if you cannot renegotiate the terms, and if there is no space for you to change or to grow or to evolve or to transform in that relationship will usually come to an end. And that transformation, and that requires a lot of engagement and communication and discussion about where I'm at, what do I need? What I need is different now versus what I needed before. I need to step away a little bit and let me think about this for a second, and then I come back again. So when you say I'm willing to walk the path of life with you, you are saying I'm gonna be with you in all of your ways. And there will be periods of introversion, there will be periods of extroversion, there will be periods of contraction, there will be periods of expansion, there will be periods where you are, you know, going out a lot, and there will be periods where you're just really a homebody. All of that will happen in a long-term relationship, because that's just kind of how we psychologically, spiritually evolve. And if there's no space for that, then that relationship will end and you will move on to other relationships. And really beautiful relationships can be where you walk the path with someone for one phase of your life. What happens is that we usually dismiss when it comes to an ending. We always corrupt. Oh, I shouldn't say always. Most often corrupt the whole relationship. We have to, because endings cannot be good. Because if they were good, then they shouldn't have been ending. Yeah, no, it can end. Good relationships can end. Because the next phase of your life, maybe there is something else you need. Or maybe there's just something else that you, someone else you became closer to. Or maybe you evolved and they evolved, and who you evolved into is just not what you would choose for each other for the next phase of your life. So, and sometimes, I mean, really big, huge changes happen, guys. I mean, I've seen people, you know, where one person, you know, was like an atheist and the other person was an atheist, and they get married and, you know, well, not married, but they make a commitment to each other. And then this person becomes completely religious. And it's like, well, I'm not aligned here. And so now these two people have a conversation they need to have. Can they be with each other when they don't believe in fundamentally the same things when it comes to, like, you know, the laws of the universe and things of that sort. And I have seen it work and I have seen it not work. It's really going to come up to, what are your needs? Are they being met? Can you respect each other? Can you respect that this person has space to be who they are and you have space to be who you are, and that you both can walk this path together? Like, it's much easier when you don't have to raise children. In this particular scenario, I'm thinking of a couple who weren't going to have children. So it's a little bit easier, because then you're like, well, how are our children going to get raised? These are important conversations to have, right? And maybe one person didn't want children, one person wants, and they both decided they weren't going to have children, and then the other person changes their mind and now they want children. Now, are you supposed to be with the other person for the rest of your life because you said you would be? Like, things change. Who you are changes. And that relationship can change, but doesn't mean you have to discount the other person and that whole experience. You can love and leave. You can love and end. You can say, I love who you are, and who you are is not right for me. And that's okay. It's harder to explain that one to people, but that's not anybody's business. But you can truly, truly appreciate another person and say that, you know, they are a beautiful person, but just where we are in our lives no longer fits. And so, just because a relationship was good at one point in your life and you walked a certain path, doesn't mean that they're always going to be there. And doesn't mean that if they're not with you at this phase in your life, that they might not show up in the future. So things change as you change. And I'm probably talking mostly about friendships here. And there are people that have walked with you a certain time in your life, and it was a beautiful time. And then you're like almost fighting for that relationship to continue on, but you're just both in different stages of your life. And it just no longer fitting. You know, I've seen that happen with when people have children. Friendships really struggle, because now this man or woman has a child, and you were like single friends. And now you don't know, like, when are we going to take out time? And so your friendship might move out into the outer circle at that point, because then that friend starts to hang out with more, you know, couples that have kids and things like that. So those become more of an inner circle, and you move a little bit to the outer circle. But doesn't mean you've fallen off the map. It's just that you're not as close as you used to be. And not to say that you will not be as close in the future, but this is kind of the phase that they are in their life. So there is a lot of renegotiation that happens during certain phases and stages of a person's life. When they get married, when they have children, when they go through divorce, when they are going through their midlife, when they're moving, these kinds of changes and negotiations need to happen. So no one will always be there for you in that way all the time. And and that's that. I think I'm good with that one now. And let's see. And I'm going to end now. And I'm probably going to come back again. So I talked about support, safety, honesty, I think is an important one in a relationship. Honesty with respect and kindness. That's a tough one to negotiate. So someone said, I don't agree, as once you take the decision to get married and have kids, you have to be responsible. And because you don't find your suitable partner, you will leave and quit. I didn't say that. I would really, really like to clarify that I did not say that. And guys, please don't be this myopic. You know, like, it's a 1-hour conversation. I cannot obviously say everything and about every scenario and in every way in this 1 hour. But you have to do what is right for you. And yes, divorce can be difficult for children. But yes, I have had adult adults who said, I wished my parents got divorced because the Cold War in my house, the tension, the aggression, the violence, I wish they got a divorce. So yes to this, and yes to this. Yes, divorce is difficult, and yes, a difficult marriage is difficult. So which difficult are you gonna choose? You have to choose your own difficult. What is most difficult for you? And what is most easy for you? It is your life, right? And I cannot stress this enough. Guys, there is no right answer. There is no right answer. And as I say this, my heart really feels sad because I want the answer as much as you do. And I wish there was an answer, but there is no right answer. There is a path you choose. And I can tell you that if you choose a path of values, your personal values, the values that you choose, not all what my mom told me and what this one told me and what this culture told me, but all of the ones you choose for yourself, because I did choose some of those values my mom gave me and my religion gave me and my culture gave me, but they're mine. And if I choose to live by those, you will be free. No matter what your circumstances. So you have to choose what is the right life for you. And there is no right answer anymore. But please, I hope that you understand, I'm going to sum up this conversation now, that relationships are difficult. The best of relationships, the very best, have conflict. They have disappointment, they have sadness, they have tears, they have heartache, they have pain, they have sleepless nights, they have disengagement, they have phases where they withdraw, they are contractions. They're in the best of relationships that will happen. And you have to decide what you are going to tolerate and what you won't. And that can only happen when you know who you are. And that's why it is said that when you love yourself and when you show up for yourself and when you know yourself, relationships get a lot easier. Because then you choose what you will or will not do, what you will and will not tolerate, what you will and will not communicate, what you will and will not ask for, what you will not give. Because when you know yourself, you are able to do that a lot easier. When you know who you are, you're able to negotiate a lot easier, communicate a lot easier. So that's what this is about. This will be basically a 1 hour talk on, guys, I don't have the answer, but I'm gonna tell you that it really does start with you. And I'm gonna end there. Yeah, this is hard, guys. And I'm gonna say also that it's so worth it. And it's so worth it. And one of the most important things you can do in a relationship is to take care of yourself and know yourself and also to apologize. So I'm gonna end with that. Bye, guys.